crackling crept across my skin at unexpected times, for no good reason. I didn't like that the psychologist had stashed all of her gear down with the journals, including what appeared to be most or all of her weapons. For the moment, though, I had to put the puzzle of that out of my mind, along with the still reverberating tremors from the certain knowledge that most of the training the Southern Reach had given us had been based on a lie. As I lowered myself into that cool, dark, sheltered space beneath, I felt the pull of the brightness within me even more acutely. That was harder to ignore, since I didn't know what it meant. My flashlight, along with the natural light from the open trap door, revealed that the walls of the room were rife with striations of mold, some of which formed dull stripes of red and green. From below, the way the midden spilled out in ripples and hillocks of paper became more apparent. Torn pages, crushed pages, journal covers warped and damp. Slowly, the history of exploring Area X could be said to be turning into Area X. I picked around the edges at first, chose journals at random. Most, at a glance, depicted quite ordinary events, such as those described by the first expedition, which could not have been the first expedition. Some were extraordinary only because the dates did not make sense. How many expeditions had really come across the border? Just how much information had been doctored and suppressed? And for how long? Did 12 expeditions refer only to the latest iteration of a longer effort, the omission of the rest necessary to quell the doubts of those approached to be volunteers? What I would call pre-expedition accounts, documented in a variety of forms, also existed in that place. This was the underlying archive of audio cassettes, chewed at photographs and decomposing folders full of papers that I had first glimpsed from above, all of it oppressed by the weight of the journals on top, all of it suffused by a dull, damp smell that contained within it a masked, sharp stench of decay, which revealed itself in some places and not others. A bewildering confusion of typewritten, printed, and handwritten words piled up in my head alongside half-seen images like a mental facsimile of the midden itself. The clutter at times brought me close to becoming frozen, even without factoring in the contradictions. I became aware of the weight of the photograph in my pocket. I made some initial rules, as if that would help. I ignored journals that appeared to be written in a shorthand and did not try to decipher those that appeared to be in code. I also started out reading some journals straight through and then decided to force myself to skim. But sampling was sometimes worse. I came across pages that described unspeakable acts that I still cannot bring myself to set down in words, entries that mentioned periods of remission and cessation, followed by flare-ups and horrible manifestations. No matter how long Area X had existed and how many expeditions had come here, I could tell from these accounts that for years before there had ever been a border, strange things had happened along this coast. There had been a proto-Area X. Some types of omissions made my mind itch as much as more explicit offerings. One journal, half destroyed by the damp, focused solely on the qualities of a kind of thistle with a lavender blossom that grew in the hinterlands between forest and swamp. Page after page described encountering first one specimen of this thistle and then another, along with minute details about the insects and other creatures that occupied that microhabitat. In no instance did the observer stray more than a foot or two from a particular plant, and at no point either did the observer pull back to provide a glimpse of base camp or their own life. After a while, kind of unease came over me as I began to perceive a terrible presence hovering in the background of these entries. I saw the crawler or some surrogate approaching in that space just beyond the thistle, and the single focus of the journal keeper a way of coping with that horror. An absence is not a presence, but still, with each new depiction of a thistle, a shiver worked deeper and deeper into my spine. When the latter part of the book dissolved into ruined ink and moist pulp, I was almost relieved to be rid of that unnerving repetition, for there had been a hypnotic, trance-like quality to the accounts. If there had been an endless number of pages, I feared that I would have stood there reading for an eternity, until I fell to the floor and died of thirst or starvation. I began to wonder if the absence of references to the tower fit this theory as well, this writing around the edges of things. In the black water of the sun shining at midnight, those fruit shall come ripe. Then I found, after several banal or incomprehensible samples, a journal that wasn't the same type as my own. It dated back to before the first expedition, but after the border had come down, and referenced building the wall, which clearly meant the fortification facing the sea. A page later, mixed in with esoteric meteorological readings, three words leapt out at me, repelling an attack. I read the next few entries with care. The writer at first made no reference to the nature of the attack or the identity of the attackers, but the assault had come from the sea and left four of us dead, although the wall had held. Later, the sense of desperation grew, and I read, "The desolation comes from the sea again, along with the strange lights and the marine life that at high tide batters itself against our wall. At night now, their outliers try to creep in through the gaps in our wall defenses. Still we hold, but our ammunition is running out. Some of us want to abandon the lighthouse, try for either the island or inland, but the commander says he has his orders. Morale is low. Not everything that is happening to us has a rational explanation." Soon after, the account trailed off. It had a distinctly unreal quality to it, as if a fictionalized version of real events. I tried to imagine what Area X might have looked like so long ago. I couldn't. The lighthouse had drawn expedition members like the ships it had once sought to bring to safety through the narrows and reefs offshore. I could only underscore my previous speculation that to most of them a lighthouse was a symbol, a reassurance of the old order, and by its prominence on the horizon, it provided an illusion of a safe refuge. That it had betrayed that trust was manifest in what I found downstairs, and yet even though some of them must have known that, still they had come, out of hope, out of faith, out of stupidity. But I had begun to realize that you had to wage a guerrilla war against whatever force had come to inhabit Area X if you wanted to fight at all. You had to fade into the landscape, or like the writer of the Thistle Chronicles, you had to pretend it wasn't there for as long as possible. To acknowledge it, to try to name it, might be a way of letting it in. For the same reason, I suppose, I have continued to refer to the changes in me as a brightness, because to examine this condition too closely, to quantify it or deal with it empirically when I have little control over it, would make it too real. At some point, I began to panic at the sheer volume of what remained in front of me, and in my panic, I refined my focus further. I would search only for phrases identical to or similar in tone to the words on the wall of the tower. I started to assail the hill of paper more directly, to wade into the middle sections, the rectangle of light above me, a reassurance that this was not the sum of my existence. I rummaged like the rats and the silverfish. I shoved my arms into the mess and came out holding whatever my hands could grasp. At times, I lost my balance and became buried in the papers, wrestled with them, my nostrils full of rot, my tongue tasting it. I would have looked unhinged to anyone watching from above, and I knew it even as I engaged in this frenzied, futile activity. But I found what I was looking for in more journals than I would have expected, and usually it was that beginning phrase, "Where lies the strangling fruit that came from the hand of the sinner? I shall bring forth the seeds of the dead to share with the worms." Often it appeared as a scrawled margin note, or in other ways disconnected from the text around it. Once I discovered it documented as a phrase on the wall of the lighthouse itself, which we quickly washed away with no reason given, Another time, in a spidery hand, I found a reference to text in a logbook that reads as if it came out of the Old Testament, but is from no psalm I remember. How could this not refer to the crawler's writing, to share with the worms that gather in the darkness and surround the world with the power of their lives? But none of this placed me any closer to understanding why or who. We were all in the dark, scrabbling at the pile of journals. And if ever I felt the weight of my predecessors, it was there and then, lost in it all. At a certain point, I discovered I was so overwhelmed I could not continue, could not even go through the motions. It was too much data, served up in too anecdotal a form. I could search those pages for years and perhaps never uncover the right secrets, while caught in a loop of wondering how long this place had existed, who had first left their journals here, why others had followed suit, until it had become as inexorable as a long ingrained ritual. By what impulse, what shared fatalism? All I really thought I knew was that the journals from certain expeditions and certain individual expedition members were missing, that the record was incomplete. I was also aware that I would have to go back to base camp before nightfall or remain at the lighthouse. I didn't like the idea of traveling in the dark, and if I didn't return, I had no guarantee the surveyor wouldn't abandon me and try to recross the border. For now, I decided on one last effort. With great difficulty, I climbed to the top of the midden, trying hard not to dislodge journals as I did so. It was a kind of roiling, moving monster beneath my boots, unwilling, like the sand of the dunes outside, to allow my tread without an equal and opposite reaction. But I made it up there anyway. As I imagined, journals on the top of the mass were more recent, and I immediately found the ones written by members of my husband's expedition. With a kind of lurch in my stomach, I kept rummaging, knowing that it was inevitable what I would stumble upon, and I was right. Stuck to the back of another journal by dried blood or some other substance, I found it more easily than I'd imagined. My husband's journal, written in the confident, bold handwriting I knew from birthday cards, notes on the refrigerator, and shopping lists. The ghost bird had found his ghost on an inexplicable pile of other ghosts. But rather than looking forward to reading that account, I felt as if I were stealing a private diary that had been locked by his death. A stupid feeling, I know. All he ever wanted was for me to open up to him, and as a result, he had always been there for the taking. Now, though, I would have to take him as I found him, and it would probably be forever, and I found the truth of that intolerable. I could not bring myself to read it yet, but fought the urge to throw my husband's journal back on the pile and put it instead with the handful of other journals I planned to take back to base camp with me. I also retrieved two of the psychologist's guns as I climbed up out of that wretched space. I left her other supplies there for now. It might be useful to have a cache in the lighthouse. It was later than I had thought when I emerged from below, the sky taking on the deep amber hue that marked the beginning of late afternoon. The sea was ablaze with light, but nothing beautiful here fooled me any more. Human lives had poured into this place over time, volunteered to become party to exile and worse. Under everything lay the ghastly presence of countless desperate struggles. Why did they keep sending us? Why do we keep going? So many lies, so little ability to face the truth. Area X broke minds, I felt, even though it hadn't yet broken mine. A line from a song kept coming back to me. All this useless knowledge.